Sam, thank you for leading that song. And rarely do I ever converse with the song leaders about the subject matter on Sunday night. But it could not have been a better song, and I appreciate it so much. And perhaps God, no doubt, was involved in all of that as well. We thank you for being here. And again, if you're visiting with us, thank you for coming. You know, we live in a world of darkness. Darkness is all around us, everywhere. And that is the darkness of sin. Jesus said in the book of John, the 8th chapter, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." When I read the Bible, I'm more persuaded every day that Christ wants us to be a light in a dim world of darkness. You will remember in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, it was Christ who said that we are to let our light shine before the world, that they might see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Now that just really translates into the fact that you and I ought to be people whose religion is seen, whose light is seen. You don't have to broadcast it. You don't have to actually tell other people how religious you are. They ought to be able to see your life by the way that you live. It is a reflection of who you are deep within. But many of us live in a world of darkness, and because of it, it's very easy for us to get adjusted to the darkness around us. Quite often I hear people say, "Well, how is it that the church has become so worldly today, so worldly minded? And why is it that there are very few of those who claim to be Christians who really stand up for what is right anymore?" It's so much easier for us to just give in instead of upholding the truths of the Word of God. Well, it's because we've gotten used to the dark. You see, the light of some Christians just does not dispel the darkness around them. We have grown accustomed to the darkness. And even though we see the lights of other people, we do not radiate our own light. And because of that, the world is still engulfed in darkness tonight. Isn't it interesting when you read the Bible that the Bible refers to the things that are good, the things that are wholesome, the things that are of God, as those things that are, metaphorically speaking, light. And the things that are evil and the things that are corrupt are those things that we refer to often as darkness. And there has long been a controversy between light and between darkness. The Bible refers to hell as that place of outer darkness. But you and I live in a world of darkness every day, and that's the reason Christ challenged us to light a light, to be a light, and to follow Him. You see, when we stand in darkness long enough, it will not be long before we simply accept the darkness and we become accustomed to it. We accept things today in our own lives, and even in the church, we forbear in many, many ways with people who do not walk in the ways of Jehovah God. We have come to accept certain things that are wrong and things that are contradictory to the will of God. I read the other day, or just yesterday, up in the state of Maine, that a new law had passed, as well as out in the state of Washington, that homosexuals can marry. And of course, we know that other states have approved such measures as well. But we know, according to God, that is just simply darkness, and yet we have grown accustomed to accept it. And I can tell you, I wonder where we will be in another 10 years. Where are we going? I'm afraid that we're getting ready to head off of the cliff, spiritually speaking. We are. And even though we live in a dark world, Jesus is still the light. He is the light of life. And the Bible refers to Him as the light that shines in darkness. In the Old Testament, the prophet said, "We have seen the great light," and that is the light of God. Hank Williams sang a song about it many, many years ago. "I saw the light." You remember that old song? Actually, it was based upon the truth that we read about in the Old Testament, the light of God that was to come into the world and to shine among men. In the Ephesian letter, chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, the Bible says, "For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye the light of the Lord." And then he challenges us. He says, to walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, he says, reprove them. That is, we are to speak out about those things that are not right in God's sight. As we continue on, the Bible says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth not make manifest is light. And wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and Christ, or rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about what happens when we actually get used to the dark. How do you know that you're getting used to the dark? Let me just ask you a question tonight. Those of you that are Christians, how much light do you have in your life? Are you radiating the light of Jesus? Or if God were to judge you tonight, would there be more darkness than light in your life? I can tell you how you can know whether or not you have gotten used to the darkness of sin in our world. First of all, our sight has grown dim. It has. You know, sometimes, as I mentioned a moment ago, we don't look at certain things as sinful anymore because we've been in the dark so long that we just accept those things and our vision is dim. We don't really see clearly what the Bible really says about it. As I mentioned in our Bible class this morning, how often have you heard people say, well, I know the Bible says this or the Bible says that, but I just don't see it. And the reason we don't see it is the fact that the god of this world, that is the devil, according to Paul when he wrote that Corinthian letter, he said that the god of this world hath blinded the eyes of them who would see. Now, we can't see evil when we read the Bible. The devil has actually blinded your eyes. We have traded peace for popularity, and we have traded power for possessions. We have adjusted our eyes to accept the dark world. How many of you have ever walked in maybe to a dark restaurant? I did that not too long ago, and it was really rather dark in there. I didn't know if they didn't want you to see what you were eating or what. But anyway, when I walked in, it was rather dark, and I did the same thing at a theater not long ago. You know, when you first walk in from out in the light, it's very hard for you to be able to see clearly. And your eyes have to refocus, and your eyes have to adjust to all of that. But after a period of time, you get to where you can see a lot of things even in darkness. And see what happens in our world of darkness when we live around it long enough, people begin to say, well, I don't really see anything wrong with this, or I don't see anything wrong with that. Even though the Bible may condemn it, we live in a dark world that accepts it. In John 3 and verse 19, the Bible says, and this is condemnation, that light has come into the world, that is Jesus, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Have you ever noticed that many of the crimes that are committed today are committed under the cover of darkness? People don't break into your house, not generally during the middle of the day. Even Jesus said that. He talked about the thief who would come at night and the man who's sitting up and he's watching and he's waiting. Generally, the crimes that are committed under the cover of darkness. They are. And the Bible says that men love darkness better than light, listen to this, because their deeds are evil. In Psalms 119, verse 105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. Why would you need a light? Because you're walking in darkness. You live in a dark world. Proverbs 4 and verse 19 also says that the way of the wicked is as darkness. Now notice this, for they know not at what they stumble. They know not at what they stumble. They're walking in darkness. Now how can I know whether or not I've gotten used to the darkness of this world if my vision is dimmed? We can know it. But there's another way. Our spirit has declined. It has. How spiritual are you right now in comparison to where you have been? Are you more spiritual today or less spiritual? Now, you could stack that up against whatever you want to. Last week, last month, last year, when you became a Christian, are you more spiritual right now? We should be more spiritually minded than ever before. According to the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 6, when the Bible says that we're to go on to perfection, that is going on to maturity, spiritually speaking. The shades of darkness have been drawn, however, and many sit in that darkness. Romans 8 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Are you led by God? Has your spirit declined? Or are you more spiritual right now? Galatians 5:16, "And this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Someone said to me not long ago, they said, "You know, we live in a social decline." And that was kind of the way they put it. And I backed up and I said, wait a minute. It's not a social decline. It is a moral decline. Have you noticed in most cases today that everything almost that the Bible condemns as sinful and wrong is accepted by society? It is. It's just about everything that the Bible condemns as sin. And by the way, someone said, well, we need to wake up. We're in a new world. We may be in a new world, but we still serve the same God. And truth is absolute. It does not change. It doesn't. We live in a moral decline. And our vision is dimmed. And our spirit has declined. You know, one of the saddest statements to me about the Old Testament, people of God, Israel then, and certainly could be said of the truth of the church today also, because when you read those letters that were written to the seven churches of Asia Minor, you will find that almost without exception, God challenges every one of them to repent and to come back to God because they're walking in darkness. But in the Old Testament, the Bible says that the Spirit of God left Israel without them even knowing it. Is it possible that God's Spirit, and I'm going to tell you something, folks. I know a lot of people say, hey, well, I just don't think God's Spirit's going to depart from me. I'm going to tell you something. It can depart from you without you even knowing it. When we start departing from God, God departs from us. For we've left Him behind. God said in Noah's day that my spirit shall not always strive with man. And it's true. God's spirit will not always strive with us. The time will come when God will allow us to make a decision to leave Him or to be spiritually minded. Social decline? No. Moral decline? But then there's a third way that you may know whether or not you're getting used to darkness. And that is that our strength spiritually has been diminished. How strong are you? Now, you may be a Christian tonight, but how strong are you as a Christian? How often do you read your Bible? Some people, you know, if I were to ask the question tonight and ask for a show of hands tonight, it probably would be a little bit embarrassing. How many of you have read your Bible today without accepting those who read and studied it in preparation for a Bible class? How many of you read it last week? How many of you read it last month? How many of you pray to God? And we wonder why we're not strong spiritually. Where did our strength go? The Bible said God's Word ought to be our strength. It should be. But it is diminished. And you know what? We really have trouble seeing truth anymore. We have to put it under a magnifying glass to be able to see truth. It doesn't glare at us like it used to because our eyes are dimmed. and we're weakened in our spirit. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, that verse follows a number of statements that Paul makes about putting on the gospel armor. He talks about putting on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and carrying the shield and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you see, we can equip our things with our life with all of those things and still be weak spiritually. And when our strength has diminished, we become prey for the devil's onslaught, and we become weakened. We become weak because we do not rely upon Jesus. God is my strength. As I told you this morning, you know, people are a strength to some degree, but I'm going to tell you the greatest strength that you have in the world is God. Paul understood that in the book of Philippians 4:13. You've heard this passage, and really is one of my favorites because it really empowers me. And Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Who strengtheneth me? And we ought to be a people that are strengthened every day through Christ. But then last of all, and we'll wrap this up tonight. One of the ways that we can know whether or not we've become accustomed to the darkness around us, spiritually speaking, is that our steps are defiled. Our steps are defiled. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth." Now, a lot of people say they walk with God and that they have fellowship with Him, but how much fellowship do you really have? Sometimes I think we are so disillusioned as to believe that we have fellowship with God when we walk in darkness. And some people live like the devil all the week, and then they come to church on Sunday and try to get cleaned up spiritually and regain our strength and perhaps correct our steps that have been defiled throughout the week. We have tried, and yet we stumble along life's way. We fumble around even with the Word of God, and we walk in darkness. In 1 John 1 and verse 5, John writes, "God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." And shouldn't that be said about those of us who are Christians? Now, when you look at someone, you know that they have the right kind of integrity. You know that they are people of character. You know that they're honest. You know that they're sincere. You know that they're genuine. They're not just wearing a name. But there is something uniquely different about their life by the way that they live, and they really are bearing that light of Christ. We have to adjust our eyes to see our need of salvation. We do. We have to adjust our eyes. Many people close their eyes. They don't want to see it. Sometimes people ask me, they say, "Why is it people just can't see that?" Well, it's very understandable. If you close your eyes, you won't see it. And many have closed their eyes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank God for young men like that young lad this morning who became a Christian and obeyed the gospel and was baptized into Christ. And I think about his life in the future. This young man could become a great preacher of the gospel. Who knows? Certainly it's my prayer that he will. But who knows? But what his conversion to Christ may be a life that will change countless thousands of people in generations that are yet to be born. Don't underestimate the power of a godly example. We need to open our eyes and say yes to a blessed life. Now, you know, God wants to give us life, but we have to open our eyes to it. And we have to open our eyes to those who walk in darkness. For in John, the 4th chapter, Jesus says, "Say not ye that the harvest will come in 4 months. But he says, I say unto you to lift your eyes unto the fields, for they are already white with harvest." Already. In the Old Testament, you remember when the fiery serpents went among the people and many of the people died? And Moses raised up a brass serpent in the wilderness. And by the way, that brass serpent is the insignia even of physicians today. It is healing. And those who looked upon that brass serpent wrapped around that pole were healed. And Christ said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, there's something unique about that serpent, that brass serpent in the Old Testament. Moses didn't just sit it among the people, but he challenged the people to look upon it and be healed. If a man didn't look upon it, he didn't receive healing in his body. And you know what? The same thing is true of Jesus. When we turn our eyes away from him, there is no healing spiritually. We just stay in the darkness in which we came. But when we shift our eyes unto him, and when we lift our eyes to the cross, it is then that we experience the salvation that Christ offers to all men. So I would challenge all of you tonight, if you're not a Christian, to understand that our world of darkness is compared to the outer darkness of eternal hell. It is. You know, people look around the world today and they say, isn't the world really becoming so corrupt? And it is. But let me tell you something. Just hold on. You think it's bad here. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in hell? Can you imagine? The Bible talks about hell being the place of outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and you will be associating with every vile member of society that ever lived. I choose not to be there, but I choose to accept Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. I did it a long time ago. I've never been ashamed of it. Never regretted one moment. Been through a lot of trials as a Christian. We all do. But I'm telling you, it is the greatest life in all of the world. And even though we live in a world of darkness every day, I have tried to be a light to those around me. And I challenge you to do the same thing tonight. If you're a Christian, hey, turn up the wattage in your life. First of all, it will please God. It will help bring lost souls to Jesus because you'll lighten their way. And God will be glorified. And you, my friend, will feel much, much better about your life. Because it's when we do not do the things that we ought to do that we feel guilt. And we feel so stained with sin. So I hope tonight that as you leave this building, as I said this morning, that tomorrow you'll go out and you'll radiate the Spirit of Jesus wherever you are. You'll be an influence for good, and you'll be a light in this world of darkness in which we live. Let us stand and let us sing.